AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, we continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. All right, we're going to get the haiku at 2 here in a couple of seconds, and we'll tell you what's been trending with It's Lit. But if you're just joining us, we were discussing fishing. Not usually a huge topic on the show, but it did come up. The Bassmaster Classic will be in Texas in 2021, which led us to our conversation about the AM 570 LA Sports Fishing Tournament, which was pitched by some people here at the station, embraced by most people, but we were slow to action. Maybe we'll just say it was the pandemic that slowed us down.
Problem with the implementation of it, huh, Fred?
Yes, there was a bit of a problem. But Dale is in Yorba Linda. Dale, thank you for calling. You're on AM 570 LA Sports. Now, Dale, you said you have caught a fish and thrown the fish back. Does that make... All right, tell us the story.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Tell us the story, Dale.
All right, Fred, Marty, thanks for having me on. First of all, fishing and hockey are two of my passions. I never hear it on your show, and I listen every day, so thank you.
For you, Dale, for you.
Bassmaster Classic. Yeah, Bassmaster Classic. Every one of those guys have, with the fish they catch, they put in a live well, they weigh at the end, they put back in the lake. It's called catch and release. So that's really popular in freshwater. We all do it. We want the fish to grow bigger, fight stronger, catch them again another day. Hopefully our kids will catch those fish. My suggestion to you guys is have a tournament in the ocean. You can charter some boats. You can get 50, 60 guys on them, pay a fee. Biggest fish, top two or three fish win the tournament. And all the money goes, we could probably even get the boats to donate the boats if you want some help. And I would be happy to help with that.
Yeah,
now,
we'd like to help.
Dale, absolutely. That would be great if you could help us out because Fred has no idea what he's doing. But so Dale, Fred is claiming that if you catch a fish and you release it, that the fish is now tainted. Do you subscribe to that theory?
No, not at all.
Thank you.
Well, you know what? The fishing that they're fishing needs catch and release, they're fishing with lures. So 90% of the time, they're hooked on the lips. When you're fishing for trout up in Mammoth, you're fishing with bait, you have a bear, you step back, you wait for your pole to bend over, the fish swallow it, they're going to die. But not when you're fishing with lures, and you're fishing specifically to catch the fish, take a picture of it and let it go.
All right, so you're saying a caught fish in the minds of the fish world is tainted because it was stupid enough to get caught.
It's not tainted.
No, it's not tainted. It's not tainted because you put it back.
Stop putting words in people's mouth, Fred.
That's what I heard. No, that's what I heard.
No, it's not. It's these guys, you probably won't catch that fish that same day because it's going to be a little nervous. But the next day, that fish will be hungry again and will hit something in front of it. And maybe it'll be a lure. Maybe it'll be a live bait.
Exactly. Now, Dale, where do you go fishing?
I love the ocean. My son fishes the tournaments like Fred's talking, the FLW Bass Tournament. He's in paramedic school, and he fishes on his days off. Me, I love the ocean. I'm going out tomorrow hunting those big bluefin tuna right now or off the coast. They're weighing anywhere between 50 and 200 pounds each.
Where?
Off
good
the coast eating,
of where?
Nice fishing.
Off the coast
this
of where?
This is right off of off the coast of California. So I'm going to go out of San Diego.
But where in California? Where in California, Dale?
Well, I got a 225 last year off of San Clemente Island, which is 50 miles out of Oceanside.
Okay.
Right now, the bluefin are running off of San Diego about 25 miles out, and they're big, very big.
I'm on my way.
Up to 300 pounds.
Oh, let's go.
And, I mean, honestly, you're talking, you bring that in at the $2,000 fish if you got to sell it. But I catch a big fish, all my friends are calling me for sushi.
Yeah.
So it's sashimi time, basically.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? These boats out in the oceans are happy to do things like this to raise money for great fundraiser. So I know we could put together a couple boats out of L.A. Harbor to go out and fish someday and raise money for some cause. And I know you'll get plenty of fishermen off the station.
All right. Hey, Kevin, will you get Dale's number, please? Can you do that? All right. Dale, we're going to get your number. And
happy to help, gentlemen. Yeah, happy to help. Thank you. Appreciate your show.
Appreciate you, Dale.
Thank you.
There you go. Well, it's good to see Dale agrees with me.
Fred, when was the last time you were on a fishing boat?
When?
Yeah, like out in the ocean.
Like when I was 12.
Okay.
Really?
How'd your stomach handle it?
Not good. I have to wear C-bands. You know C-bands?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wear C-bands.
So you're talking about sea fishing out in the sea, out in the ocean within the Pacific, where it's choppier than anything.
Right.
And you got to go out a little bit, Fred, to kind of really fish to get the sea bass or the tuna that he's talking about.
Right.
You know, I've gone out several times, and I love going out near Catalina. And it's choppy out there, Fred. You going to be able to handle that?
No, I'll put on the C-bands, and I'll be fine. You put those things around your wrist.
The edge. Huh? Hang over the edge.
No, I'm not going to hang. I'll be fine, because what I'll do is I'll be in a medically induced coma as we go there.
That's what the cooler of beers is for.
That's right.
It just makes it worse.
Okay. Now he is back and better than ever. Returning for the haiku at 2.
Woo-wee! Where's those at-home cheer things that we had on the show earlier?
Vic Jacobs. And Vic.
Yeah!
Welcome back. It's a very quiet haiku today. Vic?
Very genteel.
Vic.
Hi, Vic. Vic.
Kevin, see if Vic's okay.
Vic.
That was the highly anticipated return of the Haiku at 2 with Vic today.
It was vague, but it makes you think.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it, Vinny. A bit vague, but it makes you think. Now, let's also say this. We're trying to make sure Vic's okay now. Let's also say this.
I was looking for a little bocho he was going to bring.
Wait a minute. Now, for the return of the Haiku at 2, we welcome back Vic.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Rodney.
Vic.
Hello, Vic.
Vic, how are you, buddy?
Vic, a couple of things. First, are you okay? I mean, you haven't been feeling well. Are you all right?
I'm still fighting a lot of side effects. But it's a grind for everyone. This is no different. I am bamboo. I will not break.
Okay. The other thing is, Vic, what happened 45 seconds ago when I said, here's Vic, and you didn't talk?
I think I accidentally hit the mute button. I think I muted it.
You think you muted your... Okay. Well, Vic.
It happened.
Yeah. Okay,
I wasn't muting you.
It
happened. No.
We wanted to make sure, Vic, you didn't take another call, as you've been prone to do.
Oh, yes. No, I've been, gargling with salt water and, Cepacol and all that.
All right.
Been taking a lot of antibiotics. But you know what? Everything is a battle.
Yes.
We're all battling, and we're all going to get there. You could just feel it, can't you, guys?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Now, Vic.
There's something there.
Do you have enough?
There's something happening here. There's something happening here.
Yes, there is.
What it is exactly clear.
Right.
There's a haiku for you over here.
Okay, good, Vic. All right, so anyway, Vic, do you have enough juice for the haiku at 2?
Hey, Vic, hit me.
The music's already playing, Vic.
Oh. Violet, as I walk this mountain road, draw me to them somehow. I'm feeling you.
Did you say raw meat?
Violet.
Violet.
I know, but Violet. Did you mention raw meat?
I did not.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Fred, where did you hear raw meat?
I heard the violets, and then I heard some, I couldn't tell. and then I thought I heard raw meat.
Well, you heard Basho, you know, the haiku master. Yeah. I want to bring back the master.
Yeah.
The great Basho.
Yeah.
One of his more tranquil moments.
Sure. Sure.
We all have tranquil moments. Basho had like 10,000 tranquil moments.
Yes, he's very tranquil, Vic.
But again, that was haiku for you.
Okay.
At two.
All right, listen, we're glad you're okay. We're not going to keep you for It's Lit. We want you to rest your voice. And at the very least, you'll come back tomorrow and do another haiku.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
It's Lit. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Brought to you by our buddy Jacob and Ronnie. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. You're a good person. So if you find yourself in trouble, you suffer any kind of accident, there's one guy to call. He's the best. You know he is the best. He's been doing it longer than anybody. 24 years in Los Angeles. Jacob M. Ronnie, 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob M. Ronnie, call Jacob.
Well, Fred's really going to hate this story. Rodney is going to like it a lot. We talked about numerous times over the last couple of months about the Sky Judge possibly being adapted into the National Football League as soon as this season.
It's time.
Well, Tom Pelissero of NFL Media says the Sky Judge proposal is being withdrawn from tomorrow's virtual meeting at the owners' meetings for rule changes. So it is being tabled for now. They are not going to move forward. Didn't say forever, but as far as this upcoming season, it is not something that's going to be discussed.
I know why.
Why is that, Fred?
Cheap.
They don't want to pay an extra official? Is that
That's
what it
is? Right. They don't want to pay anybody anything. Cheap. They need the Sky official. And they should also do like the XFL where you could hear the replay official talking to the referee on the field. It's cheap. They don't want to spend the money, Rodney. And you need to admit it.
That it's cheap?
Yeah, they're cheap.
No, they came to their senses. They don't need the Sky Judge. They need the Sky Judge. They tried to make rule changes last year when they added, you know, you can challenge pass interference. And we saw how that worked out. They couldn't even make the call when it was blatant pass interference. It was just a terrible idea. The Sky Judge, and the Sky Judge was not even going to have a whole lot of power, Fred. I'm good with that. I'm glad that they tabled that. We got bigger issues than the Sky Judge that Fred wants. Terrible call.
What do you think, Vinny?
Yeah, I think it also has to do with just a lack of faith that, you know, officials will follow through with it. You know, the pass interference rule, in theory, that was good. But they changed the way it was written after it was agreed upon. And it almost completely negated it as a rule. And that's why you never saw any overturns or very, very few overturns, which drove the coaches nuts. They were like, why did we put this in if you're not going to enforce it the way we thought you were going to enforce it? The pass interference rule was by coaches, for coaches, and they understood, like, this is an important play, and a lot of us are losing jobs over plays like this. If you have enough of those that can swing a record one way or the other, we're getting fired over things like this. Let's get these right, these obvious calls right. And the NFL officials just didn't apply the rule correctly, and I think that there's a concern that maybe that would happen again with this type of a rule.
Well, speaking of NFL officials, a report from Mike Freeman from Bleacher Report saying that there's a lot of referees who are contemplating not even working this upcoming season, citing concerns over their safety with the exposure to the coronavirus. The majority of the league's officials are over the age of 50, and they have concerns about whether or not they'd be safe to return to work. So we might be going back to 2012 when we had those scab officials, and that worked out so well.
Now, I was thinking when you started that story, what's the average age of NFL officials?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that actually makes sense. I'm sure one way or another they're going to figure it out, but that really does make sense. If you're 50 or over, you want to be doubly careful. I know people who have parents who are in their 70s, and they have some predisposed health issues, and they are being extremely careful. So that does make sense to me. I mean, there's a point where you want to be careful, and then you want to be extra careful.
No, Fred, just go out and do it. Let's get it done. We're ready to go. You no need to talk about it.
Uh-oh.
No need to really kind of negotiate what's best for the officials, Fred. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. They ought to be concerned. Of course. What in the world? Yes, they could be concerned. Like, everybody's talking about the players, and then, but what about the officials? What about the staff? Let's talk about those people that have to be right in the mix of everything. Yeah, there is concern. They should have a say in the game as well. Oh, maybe, yeah, they just go do it, Fred. Just go do it. We don't have any kind of negotiation for the officials because people will say you don't want to play. You don't want the game to go on. That's you, Fred.
What do you mean I would say that?
Yeah.
You know what? Just get out there.
Hockey wants to just go play.
That's right.
NBA just wants to go play.
They're going to show up.
Baseball, they're just muddled in negotiation, and now it looks like the football officials are going to muddle this.
And you know what? I've got this figured out now. Good. I'm glad you said that, Rodney. You were trying to be sarcastic, but it made me think. Here's how they're going to officiate the games. They're going to sit socially distanced in the crowd with binoculars, and they will call the game from there. Then they'll be fine. And they won't run as much. What do you think of that plan?
They could call it for monitors.
They could.
Vinny, by the way, let's not forget that, to my knowledge, referees, NFL referees, are the only one among these sports that we're talking about, NBA, baseball, hockey, that these guys aren't full-time. I think in the NBA, you have full-time referees. Yeah. That's what their job is. You know, same with the NHL and umpires. Whereas, you know, you've got high school principals that are flying in on a Saturday night to go officiate a Sunday game. They're not full-time. And I've always felt like you should make it a professional. You should make it a full-time job. And you should have some sort of a feeder system. And not to be age discriminatory here, but we probably should be getting to a point anyway where you're able to replenish referees, you know, with younger candidates who can, you know, run the field quicker and better and see better and all those type of things. I hate to make it an age issue, but this to me brings light to the fact that it's not a full-time job for these NFL referees. And I think you see that in sometimes how games are called too. The quality of officiating would probably be better off if we had full-time officials who were trained year-round.
Concerns with officiating in the NBA as well, but a little bit different. Scott Foster, veteran official, has been around forever, did an interview with NBA TV. He says he's worried about TV viewers hearing exchanges between players and coaches and officials that would normally be drowned out by the crowd noise. He said, quote, "I don't know that I want everything that we normally say to each other going out over the air. Normally, we're all pretty professional out there, but it's definitely going to be a different situation. There's going to be some assistant coaches we normally haven't heard from before because they're sitting in the second row that now we'll be able to hear. So there's going to be an adjustment. I think we're going to need to really talk about and analyze what is okay for the public to hear and how we're going to go about our business."
Well, after hearing that, I want to hear it all.
I know, right? Sign me up. Yeah, what are you talking about?
This is what sport, Kevin?
This is the NBA official, Scott Foster, the NBA.
Oh, man.
Playing in empty arenas where you can hear everything that's going to be said between coaches, players, and officials.
Well, usually the people in the sitting courtside will hear everything anyway. So they hear it, but it's just the fans, you know, above that don't hear it. Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing. I really agree with that. That I don't know if you at home watching with your kids want to hear some of the things that come out of your mouth during the course of battle in terms of trash talking. Now they don't allow them to kind of go off like they did in the past. I mean, guys get teed up for saying what nowadays. But still, there are those exchanges, you know, kind of normally would be underneath someone's breath that you don't hear during a game with crowd, but this may pick everything up. And trust me, everything in the kitchen sink is allowable during the course of a battle, and I've heard it all.
Yeah, and those fans that are sitting courtside are hearing probably about a third of what is actually said during the course of a game, and it could get pretty raunchy out there. Here's the solution. Just control it. Don't say it. Don't talk like you normally would. Be cognizant of the fact. Although,
you saying the athletes don't say it?
They both do. It goes back. It's
about the athletes. You saying just don't say it?
If you're concerned with how you might look because cameras and microphones are picking up what you're saying, then you know for the period of time where there's no fans, you're just gonna have to self edit yourself a little bit.
Vinny, they just talked about a rocket leaving from the United States for the first time in 9 years. You ought to go be on it. Are you kidding me, Vinny? Vinny, are you talking about in the heat of battle, you're going to be able to control yourself when you forget about every camera, everything that's out there? You are not going to be saying, normally when I play, it kind of gets me going if I tell somebody I'm a bust yo, you know what, I'm a getting yo, you know, you suck, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm still playing the game and there's no crowd. I'm worried about the sound going to pick up what I'm saying. Nobody's thinking about that. You go into competitive mode, Benny.
Did you ever hear the
what you say?
Did you ever hear the story that Bill Belichick, the former Baltimore Ravens coach, told? Well, he's a notorious cusser, and his mom used to read his lips on the sidelines, and she said, "Look, stop doing it. You're making the family look bad. You know, just don't do it." So he self-policed himself and would fine himself if he cussed on the sidelines. So he started coming up with these words like fivity favity, you know, all these little words to replace the cuss words. Uh-huh. And halfway through, he calls his mom and says, "Forget it, I can't do it. There's nothing like dropping a you have to do it."
Tell that where you are. Tell that to John Gruden. Hey, John, hey, you know, there's been a push out here to stop coaches and players from cussing during the game, because fans may be able to hear you. Yeah, go run that by John Gruden there, Danny, up there.
which is not possible, which is why I'll be watching. I want to hear all of that.
Me too.
Well, you guys were talking about rockets and technology and stuff a second ago. Well, how about this? If you want to be able to go to a concert, you can, as long as you're wearing essentially a hazmat suit. There is a company called the Production Club. They're based out here, and they have built a prototype of a protective suit. It's kind of a mix between a hazmat suit and Mr. Freeze's outfit from Batman and Robin, for lack of a better description. But it's going to have LED lights on it, its own filtration system. It's a space age helmet, but basically you won't have to socially distance because you guys will all be insulated in your individual suit. Now, how much these suits will cost, who knows, but probably upwards over $1,000. Would that be
Don't give you the suit when you go to the concert?
They will not give you the suit, Rodney, unfortunately.
Not rentable?
Not rentable. No, you would have to purchase the suit on your own, and then you'd be allowed in for a concert or maybe even a sporting event.
Right, if they weren't $1,000, if they were affordable, but I don't know if at the sporting event you'd have the lights on it. But if they were affordable, then why wouldn't open the crowds? You want to go to the game? You want to see the Lakers, Clippers? You want to see the Dodgers? Whoever you want to see, NFL? Good news. Just wear your suit, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, you know how it's going now. I'm afraid people are just going to barge in and not care about a suit. You know, watch how the beaches are across the country now, and now they're opening up in California. Will be open. They're going to be crowded by June, mid-June. They're going to be crowded. July is going to be really crowded. People are going to go up and go, now, we can hang out on the beach. We can go to malls. We can do all these things, but we can't go to, we can't be in a stadium. And they're going to start getting mad about that, protesting that. That's where it's going, Fred.
No, I know. People are revolting.
But I'm not going to buy a $1,000 suit, Fred. Kevin.
Okay.
I'm not buying it, even if it is to go see DaBaby. I'm not going to.
Oh, not even for DaBaby? Come on now.
Not even for DaBaby. No. You know, now this is Jay and Beyonce concert. I might splurge for one of them.
Okay.
I get what they're trying to do, but I don't know. How they going to get people to, I don't know. That's like Fred said, if it's affordable, then I think people would do it.
What about you, Vin?
I don't know if people are going to necessarily do that. That is one of the things that I'm really, really curious about, to see what crowds do actually look like. When the NFL opens up, I think they're going to, basketball is going to keep a tight lid on it. I think baseball is going to do the same initially. But come September, I really want to see, USC is what? They're opening up against Alabama, right, this year?
They're supposed to.
I don't know if that's changed or not. That keeps just a moving target right now.
Yeah, but can you imagine, USC playing Alabama in an empty stadium in Alabama? I don't see it happening. I'm hoping, what are we, 104 days away from the opener for September 10th for the NFL. We still have a lot of time before then, but
What if the beaches are crowded all summer, right?
Yeah.
What if the beaches are crowded all summer, like we see in the Ozarks and we see in Florida right now, in different places? What if they're crowded all summer? Are people going to have an argument and we stay at this plateau or even goes down? Are people going to say, why can't we go to games?
Especially when they bought tickets, it didn't cost anything to go to that beach. But if you dropped $100 on a ticket to a Rams game or whatever, and you get up to the stadium and they're telling you you got to do this, this, and this, I think there's going to be some people that are not going to be very happy.
And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great. AM 570.
And Rodney. AM 570 LA Sports.
Vinny, appreciate you hanging.
All right, guys. Thank you. And then hopefully we see you down in Vegas here pretty soon.
Look
forward
to
about a week and a half of opening.
Look forward
Your mayor's getting her
My girl. Getting ready up there.
That's right.
All right, when we come back, might be the best baseball movie ever.
It's your girlfriend.
There we go.
Stallion.
Go ahead, baby. There we go.
Yeah, Fred. Know how much you love the Stallion.
I don't mind the Stallion.
No, you don't mind the Stallion.
You know that.
I know that, yes.
All right, during this period of time, Rodney, what we've had is a lot of time. A lot of time to kill.
What are you trying to say?
What I'm saying is people are looking for stuff to watch still. And it got us to thinking, how about a great movie? How about maybe what I consider the best baseball movie of all time? So we're going to bring on Kathleen Markell, who studies these things. She is an actress. She is a writer. And she's going to guide us through. See if you agree with my assessment that Bull Durham is the best baseball movie of all time. So we welcome Kathleen to the show. Kathleen, thanks for being here.
Hey, guys. I'm just so happy to be here, and I hope I can help the ball club.
Well, we hope you can as well, and we're sure you will. Now, Kathleen is a writer and an actress, and during this period of time where we've had nothing to do, a lot of people have been binging, a lot of people have been looking back at things, and one of the great sports movies of all time was Bull Durham. Both Rodney and I have seen it. I think it's the best baseball movie of all time.
That's right. And MLB.com, MILB.com, The Bleacher Report, Rotten Tomatoes, and Esquire.com would agree with you. Also, Sports Illustrated ranked it the number one sports movie of all time in 2003.
Ooh, wow. See, I'm a little partial to The Natural. I'm a little partial to the story of The Natural.
That's old school.
You're laughing at me, Kathleen. You're laughing at me.
I would have to say it. Bull Durham is a better movie, but look, any sports movie is a good sports, you know, is a good film as far as I'm concerned. I love the genre.
I do too. You know what? And Bull Durham, because it's, you know, the comedy in it, the realism in it, and I think it really captured what minor league baseball is all about. And the one thing I always look for in sports movies especially is when they do have action, when they do have that particular sport is in action. It is a pet peeve of mine that they get people that actually know what they're doing and look like they've done it before. And I would say in Bull Durham, because Kevin Costner actually played a little baseball at Fullerton, he played the part well because he looked natural hitting the baseball, throwing the baseball. He wasn't awkward. Now Tim Robbins was a little bit weird, but I think that was his character to be a little weird, but his delivery looked like he never played baseball before in his life.
Right. And, you know, as a matter of fact, the guys that played on the opposing teams were all actual players that they got out of the Carolina League and some other of the minor league, like AA and AAA players. So they were very authentic.
You know, it's amazing. You talk about the cost of movies. When they made this movie back in '88, it cost them $7.5 million. That was it. That was the price. But I guess back then, $7.5 million was a lot, or it wasn't?
It was. It was a lot of money, I think, for the 80s. Although, you know, they're making movies now for, like, you know, Lady Bird was made for about $10 million, which is, you know, crazy low on the scale of a major motion picture. So they're still making them in that range, but, you know, at $7 million is a whole different ballgame, if you will, in the 80s.
Yeah, they've rewound the clock and figured it out from an indie style of movies now, where you don't have to have those big budget, because now the smaller budget films are winning awards, and so everybody's kind of turning that way, which is a good thing. Which is a good thing. You know, I think the thing I think people took away from Bull Durham the most is again, like we talked about, its authenticity and the groupie Susan Sarandon played Annie. I remember when it came out, and I talked to a lot of my baseball buddies and who were in the minor leagues on the road and were saying there's an Annie at every ballpark and sometimes multiple.
Yeah, you know, do you know that that's actually a reference? They call the groupies baseball Annies. That's where her name comes from.
Kathleen Markell is with us, Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports, talking about Bull Durham. Kathleen, there are a couple of clips we want to listen to, right?
Sure. Sure. I thought maybe we could start with the strikeouts or fascist scene. That's just a classic, a bunch of great lines. So let's hear that one.
Relax. All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist. Throw some ground balls. More democratic.
What's this guy know anyway? If he's so great, how come he's been in the minors for 10 years? If he's so hot, how come Annie wants me instead of him?
Oh, hey. And another thing, me. You don't know shit. All right? You want to make it to the show, you'll listen to me. Annie only wants you because she can boss you around. Got it? So relax. Let's have some fun out here. This game's fun, okay? It's fun, goddammit. And, oh, don't hold the ball so hard, okay? It's an egg. Hold it like an egg.
Does he know about fun? I'm young. I know about fun.
That was great. I mean, first of all, I think Nolan Ryan would completely disagree that strikeouts are fascist.
That's a good, but it's a great line. It's a great line, and I mean the writing throughout the whole movie was fantastic, and you could tell they had some folks that are actually played in the minor leagues, because a lot of the vernacular, you know, you only hear that from baseball players that are doing it, and like again, Kevin Costner pulled it off great. And the back and forth, but it is fascist, Fred. What are you talking about? It is fascist. A ground ball gets everybody involved. Somebody's got to field it. Somebody's got to throw it to first. And you know, it's a community thing. It's more democratic, like he said. I never heard that line before, but he's actually right.
But that's a great explanation for that line. I love it. I was thinking we should probably, for those who haven't seen this amazing movie, and please go see it right now. Put it on. I think it's on Netflix. We should do a summary of what it's about to kind of explain that scene and what's going on with the movie. So Bull Durham, obviously, 1988 romantic comedy sports film about minor league baseball. It's also about romance, sex, poetry, metaphysics, and talent. The film stars Kevin Costner as Crash Davis, the veteran catcher brought in to teach rookie pitcher Ebby Calvin Nuke Lelouch, Tim Robbins, about the game in preparation for reaching the major leagues. Baseball superfan Annie Savoy, Susan Sarandon, also takes Nuke on to mentor him in baseball as well as love, but finds herself increasingly attracted to Crash. Okay, so guys, this is my choice for best sports movie of all time because, to me, no other film nails the crazy, stupid love we fans have for our teams the way that Bull Durham does. You know, besides being a sports film, it's also cataloged as a romantic comedy because of the Annie Crash Nuke love triangle. But I would argue that the more compelling romance is between the fans and the team as it's represented by Annie and the Durham Bulls. You know, the opening monologue of the film is Annie's voiceover that ends with, "The only church that feeds the soul day in and day out is the church of baseball." And that's because that's how we fans really feel about our teams. I am a total diehard Nebraska Cornhusker football fan. And think about this for a minute. Every single August, I get butterflies in my stomach because football season is about to start and I get to see my team play every year. Now think about this. The last time the Huskers won a national championship was in 1997. I mean, 1997. To put that in perspective for you, I had two kids back then, and they were both babies. Now I have four, and the three of them can legally drink when we watch these games. Has this decade-long dry spell diminished my love for my team at all? No. Would I participate in this type of one-sided relationship with anyone else in my life? No. That would be masochistic, and I would have broken up with them a year ago, you know? Look, people get divorced. They stop speaking to their relatives. They unfriend their BFFs, but nobody breaks up with their team. And nobody got that diehard devotion better than Ron Shelton did with Bull Durham.
And look at you.
That's my
look
story,
at
and
you.
I'm sticking to it.
Look at you, Kathleen. I see where the
that's
passion is.
That's why I love this movie.
No,
see what
I
I'm
see.
Saying? It's like.
I all see. Right. Anyway, I mean, to me, and I don't know, Fred, you can say what if this.
Sure.
I think you did say this is yours, but yeah, I mean, I do. It's definitely, you know, in my top three. Would Rocky be considered a sports movie? It's boxing, right?
Oh,
I mean,
for sure.
That kind of got me. And I was a Longest Yard fan. Burt Reynolds.
Oh yeah.
Yard.
Mm-hmm.
That was
yeah,
good.
Yeah. The original Longest Yard. Yeah. Big fan of that one. You know, remember the Titans from the football, because I'm a football guy, so that one kind of got me a little bit too. But Bull Durham, I think you're right with the classic and the comedy and the writing and the authenticity and all those things puts it right up there. But I kind of almost have to lean towards Rocky because it still, to me, has that impact.
But so, like, I think it's the greatest sports underdog story of all time.
Yeah. All right.
That one's so good.
Kathleen, before we let you go, do you want to play one more clip?
Sure. Let's try the lollygagger scene. That's awesome. That has become like a cultural reference, although my millennial kids don't understand when I call them lollygaggers, and I made them watch it with me the other day, and the millennials don't get this movie. They kind of, it was like crickets. My husband and I are laughing, and my kids are like, yeah, we don't get it, except for like there were sex scenes, and they were just yelling, "Mom, this is so inappropriate." But anyway, now when I say I call them lollygaggers, they get what I'm talking about. So let's play that one.
You guys, you lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. Do you know what that makes you, Larry?
Lollygaggers.
Lollygaggers. What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it? Now we have got a 12-day road trip starting tomorrow. Bus leaves 6 in the morning.
Well, that sounds pleasant. Let's leave 6 in the morning.
Better be there.
Better be on time.
Yeah.
Well, Kathleen, we appreciate you coming on today. This was really interesting. You know, maybe next time we'll talk about Rocky because that's Rodney's top of the list.
Well, I'd love to talk about Rocky. That's a great film.
All right. Well, Kathleen Markell, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
At Rodney P9.
On Twitter.
At FredNBCLA.
Rogan and Rodney.
Petros and Money getting ready to go, top of the hour.
Hogan and Rodney.
Rodney Peace.
An athlete.
Rodney Peace.
A father.
Rodney Peace.
An LA icon.
Rodney Peace.
And this guy.
Fred Rogan. AM 570, LA Sports.
Hey, don't forget, Chevy Clean Dealers are committed to using enhanced vehicle cleaning measures with CDC-approved cleansers. So when you're ready, you can find new roads with confidence. All right, Kevin and Ronnie, great job.
Great job, Kevin and Ronnie.
Rodney, great
Ronnie,
job.
I need a little more competition out of you, Ronnie. And a little who dis. I got you, buddy.
Ronnie can't even talk.
Put your back into it, Ronnie.
I'll try better tomorrow, Rodney.
Put your
I promise.
Back into it. All right, Rodney, talk to you tomorrow. A hard lesson, court cases, keep them guessing. Plea bargain ain't an option now, so I'm stressing. Cost me more to be free than a life in the pen. Making money off of cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the sin. What's the worst they could do to a player? Got me lost in hell to live and die in LA on bail. My people say, live and die in LA.